Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The fourth, the final, the money hour. The Rob Brown Show starts now. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Darth Lonzo with you here on a Thursday Halloween Upstate AM. Great to have you along for the ride. Got a lot to get to in this hour of the show. Next segment, Fight Club with the great one, Darth Lonzo. We will end the hour talking about the Los Angeles Dodgers winning the World Series last night over the New York Yankees.
I'll make you pay. I will. Remember, this is a fight you don't really want.
That's objectively funny to me.
How many times have I saved you today? One really bad time.
One really bad one.
Yes.
That's very fair. That's very fair. We will talk World Series to end the show, but before any of that, as we do every Thursday at 9 o'clock, we take it up to BetQL HQ and welcome in the executive producer of BetMGM Tonight, which you can hear on this station every weekday night from 7 to 11 p.m., the former executive producer of Bet for the Cycle with myself and Cody Decker, which airs every Saturday from noon to 4. He is an NBA and NFL analyst for the BetQL Network. He is Mario Heron, a.k.a. Hatin' Ass Mario, who dressed, in a reference he doesn't get, as Spicoli from Fast Times at Ridgemont High today. Good costume, Mario.
I know that reference. I get it. No, I said it to you guys in break. I'm a Halloween Grinch. I do not like Halloween. My siblings ruined it for me when I was little. They made me watch Michael Myers Halloween too early, scared me really bad, and then they tortured me about it for about 5 years. So I stopped trick-or-treating when I was in second grade, haven't looked back since, and I haven't put on a costume in about 2 years.
See,
I feel good about it.
So you're missing – I think he looks like Trevor Lawrence.
No.
His nose isn't big enough for Trevor Lawrence, but, I mean, you throw a fake nose on there. I mean –
He reacted relatively violently to the Trevor Lawrence comparison.
I do not like – so the two worst comparisons I've ever gotten with long hair is Trevor Lawrence, and then this was like a year – ago, no, 2 years ago now, someone goes, hey, are you related to Kenny Pickett? Like, just randomly when I was walking in Apple.
All right. Guy just we can't see your hands right now, so we don't know. You could actually be Kenny Pickett. There we go. They don't look like normal, not baby hands. They do.
Not baby hands. Hey, I'm glad we brought this conversation up because we had a conversation earlier in the show that I'm kind of curious as to your input here. We went, Mario, and we looked at every quarterback who has been drafted between the first and fifth round dating back to 2019. And we asked about every one of those quarterbacks, would you label them as successful, whatever your definition was, right? And basically, we came up with like four or five. Right. And there's a few that were contested. Like I say, Tua Tagovailoa is successful. Lonzo doesn't. Jalen Hurts has gone to a Super Bowl. I say successful, even if it's not going great for him now. But you look at this year's class. As of right now, I'd say Jaden Daniels is successful. Caleb Williams looks like he's figuring it out, and it's taking him time by time. But outside of that, and Bo Nix, like Bo Nix isn't as bad as I thought he was going to be, but he's nowhere near where I would say is successful for Captain Checkdown just yet. But if you go back to 2019 and look at every quarterback drafted from the first to fifth round, there's like a few. It's like Joe Burrow's one of them, Patrick Mahomes, you know, Kyler Murray, I can't say is successful, though he looks better this year. The guys that you can say, like Baker, Sam Darnold, whatever, most of these guys are guys that we don't label successful until like 5-6 years in. I heard a take from Tom Brady a while back that he got asked, like, why are rookie quarterbacks struggling so much? And his answer was, because the college football model has transitioned from a model that is about players to a model that is about money. It's not about developing players anymore. It's about making as much success and therefore money as you can. And so when guys come out of college football, they haven't been trained on how to be a great quarterback. They've been trained on how to create success for their team, whatever that ends up looking like. What is your theory on the reason why? And somebody pointed out earlier on the show, you can go back and you look at guys like Cam and Andrew Luck and RG3 that we all thought were going to be dominant, that were, you know, okay. What is your theory, if you agree with the sentiment, that rookie quarterbacks are not succeeding at the rate that you'd like them to when transitioning to the league in 2024 and really the last couple of years?
So I think it's a couple things, right? I'm going to push back. Dude, Cam Newton was pretty successful. Went to a
Super Bowl. He did go to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, went to a Super Bowl. It was an MVP business decision, I know. But still, like, I would say that career is still marked up as a pretty successful career. I think the defensive improvement the past couple years is a big reason why the quarterbacks have struggled. Like, the defensive minds, defensive strategies has kind of been taken up a notch. And that's why you've seen, like, just in gambling wise too, like unders have kind of came in pretty hot. And when you see earlier in the season, offenses tend to struggle because, you know, defenses kind of bring a different energy and different schemes to, you know, the game every single year. So I think that's also part of this equation as well. I think the only reason why quarterbacks are kind of struggling is, like, I always try to remind people, you can't, like, every quarterback, I think, should be given at least 3 years to really know how good they are, right? Like, if you cut off Josh Allen right after his rookie year, we don't see the Josh Allen we have today. You know what I mean? Like, you got to give these guys a little bit of time to develop. And remember, the QBs that are getting drafted, top five, there's a reason why that team's top five. It's not because they just went 17-0 and they have everything you need to be successful. It's because they literally stunk up the whole freaking season and they're the worst teams in the NFL. They're coming into systems where they're rebuilding. So, like, it's hard right away to hit the ground running. I think another factor, this is a little big brain theory, you know, here. So stay along for the ride. With getting paid now in college, I think that the sense of arrival comes earlier, where if I'm 19 years old and I'm playing football for Wisconsin, I'm the starting quarterback and I'm getting paid $3 million, $2 million, whatever the hell it is, you know, there's a little bit of edge you lose because you're like, oh, I can afford, you know, to get my mom a car. I can afford, you know, a pretty nice apartment right now. Hey, I can go to, you know, Lululemon, I get some designer stuff. Like, you see how, like, that mentality could change, could affect you. And I always go back to that fighter mentality where it's hardest to be a champion and to stay a champion than it is to, you know, get to a champion. Because as soon as you get it, it's like, oh, we're there, we're on top of the mountain, but now you got to defend it. And I think that's kind of like happening a little bit maybe in college football, where like these guys are getting paid so much early, the sense of arrival happens, and like the work maybe not be as there as it was previously. And I still like guys getting paid, by the way. That's not ripping that.
Yeah, and it's not unfair. I threw one more that I'll throw in there and get your thoughts on it. We talk about guys like Caleb Williams, and you just kind of hit on it. Teams that are drafting quarterbacks in the first five picks are there because the team stinks. And I look at Carolina, I look at Chicago last year, I look whatever. And the problem is when you go draft a rookie quarterback, because of the fact that you're that bad, a lot of fans, coaches, managers, GMs, owners, whatever, want drafting a quarterback to be an immediate fix, as if the quarterback is the only guy who determines the value of the team, right? So I go back, and this has been my defense for a hot minute now, of Bryce Young in Carolina, for instance. This team sucks. Not a little. This team sucks. In every element of the game, this team sucks. And yet you expected a kid to come in there out of the University of Alabama, which in this place, to your side of the theory, he had nothing but success. Heisman Trophy, national championships, playoff appearances, yada, yada, yada. You expect this kid to come in and just like be Peyton Manning and fix the squad immediately. It don't work like that. And I think because of that, you add the pressure of being a savior. I've kind of jokingly been calling Caleb Williams the Windy City Savior for a year now. knowing full well that, and in fairness, Caleb Williams is probably a bad example because they went and they got DJ Moore and they went and got the guy out of San Diego and they went and got DeAndre Swift, who was an excellent screen and out route running, catching running back, et cetera. But I look at like Carolina, who got rid of DJ Moore and got rid of Christian McCaffrey and got rid of Bradley Bozeman, who is now out in Los Angeles, and got rid of all these players and then went, now we want you to come here and succeed. My man, I don't care if you put Brady in there. That team's still going to be a bad football team. When you add all that pressure onto a young quarterback, I don't understand why people are shocked that there's dramatically more failures than there are successes.
And to that point, too, I think we're an impatient society where, like, you see C.J. Stroud, who just hits the ground running, you know? You see that. You see Jaden Daniels that kind of hits the ground running, right? Bo Nix, it's taking, like, a little bit longer, but, you know, you get my point. Some of this stuff takes time. Tua took time. Like, I know you say whatever you want about Tua, but, like, Tua's first couple years, it was kind of, you know, not the prettiest. Josh Allen took time. Peyton Manning took time. Drew freaking Brees took time. Burrow took time. Like, these guys take a little bit to be the players they are. You know, people forget Mahomes sat a year. You know, Jordan Love is a really good damn quarterback. He sat multiple years behind Aaron Rodgers. Like, there's, again, like you mentioned, like, there's factors that go into it. And, like, I'm a Brock Purdy stand. I think he's a very, very good player. But I guarantee you, you know, if you put 9 out of 10 rookie quarterbacks that have a lot of potential in a Kyle Shanahan system with those weapons, they're, you know, I don't know if they go to a Super Bowl, but they're going to be pretty good. You know, they're going to be a playoff team. So you got to, like, always factor that in. And, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. So always kind of remember that. And just because he's not killing it right away doesn't mean, oh, he's a bust. Like, three years to see how good of a football player you really are.
I accept that. Hayden S. Mario Heron from the BetQL Network joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Looking up and down the slate for this weekend, Mario, we're kind of getting to the point. Actually, nope, no. Let me put that in reverse for a second. What's your take on this whole Anthony Richardson scenario?
Oh, my God. First off, he's bad. He's just not a very good quarterback. And I think it goes to show, you know, we talked about all these developing of quarterback stuff. When you have a guy that hasn't played a lot of football, when he plays the game at the highest level, it's going to look like he hasn't played a lot of football. And, like, that's just what it is with the Indianapolis Colts. And then when he taps his helmet saying, I'm too tired. I got to come out. And in that scenario, too, he has a backup quarterback that's been playing better than him. In that scenario, too, he has a GM that wants to win now. He has an owner that wants to win now. And he has a head coach that wants to win now. All that, buddy, watch tape of Max Duggan on TCU. When it literally looked like every time he hit the ground, that's the last time he'll ever get up. And it's the last breath he's ever going to breathe. And just take a deep breath, get up, man, and just do it one more play. It was a bad look. It was a tough look. I also don't know, by the way, if I love Shane Steichen going to Flacco. I really don't know if I love that. It's very clear to me that the team is not behind that. Like, he saw it yesterday at press conference. Is the team behind this move? He says, I cannot speak for my team. You might as well just say the locker room is pretty divided on it. Anthony Richardson is very well liked. I think he's very well supported. And you got to give the kid that hasn't played a lot of football more chances to play football. I don't think it's a chance of, hey, you know, sit behind and let a 40-year-old chuck a football everywhere. But at the same time, buddy, don't tap your helmet and say,
I got to think, though, this is like, you know, Lonzo and I love the phrase, this is a teachable moment. And I think it is, because I'll tell you, regardless of whether or not he's liked in the locker room, I got to imagine if my man taps himself on the helmet, takes himself out because he's tired, and then he goes back to the huddle a couple of plays later, where there's a bunch of big, ugly offensive linemen who have been in a battle with 350-pound nose tackles every snap, and he goes, sorry, boys, I was winded. I got to imagine if I'm the starting center for the Colts, I'm looking at him like, screw you, kid. Like, get out of here. I'm out here fighting for my life against some of the biggest, strongest dudes on planet Earth, and you got gas from running 10 yards on a sneak. Like, no. I think this is more along the lines of, like, we're going to have to teach him a little bit of the do's and don'ts. There, sometimes it's okay. Just say you're hurt. Just lie. Just say, oh, my ankle's hurt. I need a break. Let a trainer tape it up so it looks legit and go down, because now you got to go face a bunch of dudes in the huddle busting their ass to keep you upright and go, sorry, boys, I was tired. Like, it's not, it's just not good. I am always a defend the player guy. Always have been, always will be. I can't here. I can't do it.
Well, also to that point, like, think about it, divisional game too. We already lost one of the Texans and you kind of need to, you know, beat them a second time around. Like, another factor in this whole thing. Also, as a quarterback, you know, you mentioned the O-line. They have to go balls to the wall every single play. As a quarterback, you know, maybe you tell me there couldn't be something where he looks at Steichen and go, hey, I need two, you know, run plays here for JT. And you can't scheme up your two best run plays. And then he just, all you got to do, hike, hand off. That doesn't take a lot of energy. Yeah. You know what I mean? You can, like, catch your breath after, like, two of those plays and you go, all right, now you can, you know, call whatever you want to call. That's the only thing that didn't make sense to me. He's like, how about a little communication? Go, hey, just, you know, these next two plays, let's just run the damn ball.
Yeah, I will say there is a little bit there, but he's got to know better in that situation. All right, your Chargers embarrassed the hell up out of my New Orleans Saints last week, and my team sucks. I hate them. I will fist fight Dennis Allen on site, but Jim Harbaugh kind of feels like he's got a little something rolling. Justin Herbert starting to, you know, he said coming into the year, drafted a bunch of linemen, drafted Joe Alt up out of Notre Dame, which I really like that pick. That kid's a slugger, dude. He's a machine. But he said, we're going to be a run team, run team, run team, run team. It was like 65% pass last weekend for Justin Herbert and the Chargers. Kind of feels to me like maybe Jim Harbaugh's a little bit ahead of schedule. Team's still got some roster building, still needs to improve some talent here and there, but I kind of think Jim Harbaugh might actually have been the right pick for that job.
I think he was the perfect pick for the job. I think what they're finding out now is that, hey, our run game, we can't constantly rely on. Like, if you literally looked earlier in the season for versus where they're at now, the past 2 weeks, there was a conversation, maybe it happened during the bye week, of, hey, we have one of the best QBs in the NFL. Look, we got to start airing out. It doesn't matter that our weapons are one of the worst in the league. We got to start airing the football out. And I think you've seen that the past couple of weeks, because the run game has been stopped because the interior alignment are not the best. Our tackle's fantastic. You're not getting around them. But the interior push is not amazing. And they're, you know, bottom half in the NFL when it comes to rushing yards per game. But Herbert has been able to extend plays and played his best football. You look at PFF, he was the highest graded player on the offensive side of the football throughout the NFL. Like, he played a hell of a game, probably his most perfect game of the season. It's just this team learning, hey, we got, you know, really lean on the passing game. We can lean on Ladd now. He's finding his way. He's creating separation. He's really working on his route running. We just need, you know, I think if they're serious this year, Rob, they make a trade for a receiver right now. But I don't think they're serious about this year. I think they go, hey, let's, you know, make the playoffs and then let's build on this and let's, you know, make something that's sustainable. So, yes, it's impressive. Do I think they're ahead of schedule? Maybe by literally a day. Like, I think this is all going according to plan, to be honest.
Mario Heron, a.k.a. Hatin' Ass Mario from the BetQL Network, joins us every Thursday at 9 o'clock straight up to talk NFL football. We will, in the future, start sprinkling a little NBA up in her as we move forward. Hey, congrats to Bronny James for taking five games to get his first couple of points. Happy for that kid.
Wow, that's amazing. That's good for him. Did everyone off the floor so he could do it?
Did you jump into the massive you know, this is manufactured, therefore I don't care about it bit like everybody else seemed to do?
I thought it was cool. Here's what I was saying. I thought it was cool, but it didn't, like, change my day.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like, you know what I mean? Like, that's how I think about it. And, like, by the way, like, that's how life goes. That's life. If your dad's pretty good at something and he's, you know, pretty big in some part of the world and you get into that world,
I would agree. But there ain't a whole hell of a lot of 41-year-old NBA players. LeBron had to make it 20 plus years.
Yeah,
and not many people can do that.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. Like I said, it's impressive. Like, it's awesome. You know, I'm very happy for him and his family, but it's not gonna, you know, nice.
Nice. Like, hey, that's all Mario, Mario Heron from the BetQL Network. You can hear him as the executive producer of BetMGM tonight, every single weeknight from 7 to 11 p.m. with Ryan Horvath and Brad Evans right here on this very station and find Odyssey stations around the world. And you can hear him every Thursday at 9 o'clock here on the Rob Brown Show. Big Dog, appreciate you. Enjoy the NFL weekend, partner.
May the force be with you.
And also with you. I think that's what you're supposed to say. I don't know.
I'm Sith, so, you know, I have nothing to say.
Let the hate flow through you. See you next week, big fella.
Sayonara.
Hating ass Mario from the BetQL Network. We are back with Fight Club right after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Welcome back to the show. It is time for the Fight Club, where we talk all things wrestling, MMA, boxing, and we do it with the Force because we're dressed as a Jedi and a Sith Lord. So that's what you do. You do it with the Force.
This is the segment you're looking for.
Yes, it is, for sure. Coming up Saturday, which I don't know if this is a good idea or not, but it doesn't really matter what I think. The fact that WWE Crown Jewel is happening, but it's happening at 1 p.m. So, I mean, it's like a night in Saudi Arabia, but it's 1 p.m. up against some good college football games, including
real good,
including Ohio State versus Penn State. So I will watch this probably Sunday morning, but I'm looking forward to some of these matches. Maybe not so much this one, but it's on the docket. So let's talk about WWE Women's Tag Team Championships. Bianca Belair and Jade Cargo, who are your current champions, going up against Chelsea Green and Piper Niven, and Lash Legend and Ja'Kara Jackson, and Io Sky and Kairi Sane.
I would like another damage control run, and I think they're set up for it. And I think the workhorse rate they're on has been a lot of fun showing up on NXT, also having matches on the main roster. But I think and still.
This is hard for me because they're pushing Lash Legend and Ja'Kara Jackson pretty hard, and they're showing up a bunch of different places to interfere and things like that. This should be a pretty fun match. I'm going to go with Chelsea Green and Piper Niven because I think it's time for them to have another
run.
I want
it on the record. I'll never be happier, all right? Chelsea Green might genuinely, like, not even funny, haha. Chelsea Green might be my favorite thing going in the WWE right now. She's a riot. She's the best. She's hilarious. She's comedy gold. Did you see the video she put up on social media the other day? It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. First off, Chelsea Green, I was unfamiliar with your game, and I apologize. Second off, the chick is freaking hilarious, dude. I hope. And also, Piper Niven goes. I'm a fan. I hope they win. But realistically, I think you are setting up a feud between Bianca and Jade and the NXT ladies.
Agreed, which is why I think Piper and Chelsea Green will somehow sneak in and steal it in between. That's.
I think they're in there to be the pin eater, unfortunately. I hope I'm wrong.
All right, next match, a United States Championship. I just don't care about this match. I know I probably should. LA Knight versus Andrade versus Carmelo Hayes. I get LA Knight's guy and everything, but I've never thought he was that interesting. I mean, so he got a belt finally, but what's he doing with it? I'm going to go Carmelo here.
This is a risk because I can see why they would. But I don't think they de-strap LA Knight on this show. I think you can run this a little bit more juice. I will also say this. I feel like for probably the last 6-7 months. I feel like the U.S. Championship has just kind of become like generic throwaway mid-card belt, right? Like for a while there.
You know, it wasn't when someone else held it.
Yeah, but I don't put it on L.A. Knight. I mean, at the end of the day, L.A. Knight can't book himself. And
when Logan Paul had it, it had some.
Yeah, but Logan Paul sucks as a person.
That's,
right?
That may
they
be true.
They de-strapped him for a reason, and it's a good reason, but they de-strapped him for a reason. But here's the thing. I don't think Logan Paul made that rivalry interesting.
No, I think he made the belt interesting for a while.
I do too, but it wasn't because of him. It was because of A, a cameo, and B, the fact that they were putting this relative unknown in the wrestling world, up against a guy who, I don't care if you don't like him, was one of the most organically over people that they've had since Daniel Bryan.
He's all right. I mean, it's just, I don't go to the arena to see the guy.
Right. That's your subjective opinion, which is fine. There are guys you love that I don't feel that way about. Girls you love, I don't feel that way about. But what cannot be disputed is that LA Knight was the most organically over guy in the company for a very long time. And I think he brought that feud there.
All right. Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens needs to be the next champion. But they're going to put the so the question is WWE going to make John Cena have the most championships of all time and then turn around and give it to Randy Orton and end up being Randy Orton?
I don't know. And this is one of those things that is relatively interesting, not just because we're talking about the outcomes of rivalries, but we're talking about how we are going to be talking about wrestling on the Fight Club 20 years from now, right? Like, we saw Cena do it. We saw Orton do it. Whatever. I don't know is the answer. I do think the belt is ultimately ending up on Kevin Owens. That being said, I think Randy probably wins in Saudi Arabia, and KO is set up for a Cody feud next.
All right, so there was a time when Saudi Arabia, especially when it first started for Crown Jewel, was just a throwaway. Storylines didn't make sense, nothing like that. But now it is a part of everything else. So stories are continued there. There's not really that many one-offs anymore. I'm going to go with KO to beat Randy Orton. The next match is Seth Rollins versus Bronson Reed. I love the build of Bronson Reed. This is how he should have been built the entire time. I don't know what the end game is with it. Does he move on from Seth Rollins to start beating up on the next guy? I don't know. I loved him and Braun Strowman. And it's the old David versus Goliath thing, except this time it's crazy versus big as far as Seth Rollins and Bronson Reed go. It would be a bigger win for Bronson Reed if he wins, and Seth Rollins doesn't need to win. I'm going to go with Bronson Reed.
I'm going to go with Seth Rollins. And there is, you are right about what you said about Saudi Arabia. They are working storylines into it versus what they used to do, which is just put two guys in there and let them go for the sake of having some matches. But I will also go one step further and say there's another variable, which is it's not exactly a very closely guarded secret that WWE, and they are doing this for oil money, blood money, regular money, whatever kind of money you want to call it. They almost kind of let the Saudi royal family book this show, right? Like you're popping their favorite so that they give you another $5 billion next year to run this thing back. And Seth Rollins is, much like LA Knight, just a dude that's over. He's just over. I'm not going to say this about every match, but I think for this one, this is one that you're going to let the Saudis pick their winner, and their winner will be Seth Rollins.
All right, Roman Reigns and the Usos versus the Bloodline. This thing got more interesting because I think everyone, we've even speculated that Sami Zayn would be their fourth whenever Survivor Series rolls around. But now, Sami talked to everybody, and then the last thing you saw on Raw was Sami in the parking lot talking to baby brother and yep, the head of the new Bloodline. Will this come into play in this match? I don't think that Roman Reigns and the Usos win. I think the Bloodline wins.
I would agree with you because you need that to happen for the build, and I think you can do it. Listen, I think you're going to get a history repeats itself sometimes in wrestling because the history was entertaining, and you can run it back with different people and use the same angle and have it work. I think you are going to have Sammy talking to the Usos and being like, look, dude, like I was trying to figure out a way to calm this before your family blows itself up. And that's why I was talking to Solo. And then you can have one Uso believe him, one Uso not believe him. You go through the whole thing that led up to the trial of Sami Zayn, which was a wonderful segment they did a number of years ago. which was the first time that Roman accepted Sammy into the bloodline, which was a great moment. I think you can basically tell that story again, and I think it starts here. I think Sammy's involved in this. I don't know how yet, but I will go the OG bloodline wins this one. I think it gets pinned on Sammy, and then we run that angle back.
All right, two more matches to go. WWE Women's Crown Jewel Championship. Nia Jax versus Liv Morgan. I'm surprised that it made it this far because I thought for sure that Nia would no longer have the belt, but she still does. And so Nia versus Liv Morgan. This is a hard one to pick because I don't know how this, either one of these matches that we're about to talk about, are they building who hurts the most by losing? So I think I got to go with Nia Jax to win, even though Raquel is going to interfere for sure.
100% dirty finish. 100% dirty finish. The question mark is who, because you also have to keep in mind there is one more variable floating out around there.
Tiffy time.
It's Tiffy time. So we can I think part of the ploy here has been to get us all dialed in and focused on Raquel and what she brings to the Liv Morgan stable and not be thinking about Tiffy with the briefcase out there somewhere. I'm going to go Liv wins, but it's because Tiffy takes out Nia and cashes in and takes the belt, and that allows you to keep Liv hot and you set up Nia's next angle with Tiffany Stratton while also putting a belt on Tiffany Stratton.
By the way, that works for me too. And finally, WWE Crown Jewel Championship, Cody Rhodes versus Gunther. And
I'm sorry, whom?
Friend of the show, Gunther.
Thank you.
I'm going with Gunther on this. I know probably everyone believes it's going to be Cody Rhodes, but you spent all this time building up Gunther. I think he needs to win this match.
I completely agree. I think he does. Cody is white hot babyface, boring champion to me, but it doesn't matter how I feel. It matters what moves merch, and Cody Rhodes is still getting all that. I think you can do it in a way that you still protect Cody, although I don't really think Cody needs all that much protection. If you want me to believe that Gunther remains a certifiable top-notch champion, then I think he's got to win this. If he loses to Cody, what belief do I have that Gunther is this big, terrifying Austrian monster anymore?
Agreed.
And also, friend of the show.
Yeah, and we've seen him and know what a terrifying Austrian monster
it would be, except he holds the door for you and says, pleasure to meet you. I am Walter.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, no.
Yeah, but most really bad guys. I mean, his in-ring persona right now.
Guy.
For sure.
Yeah.
The Bond villains are nice. They are. Until it's time for the nefarious plans to come to action.
What did Dalton say in Roadhouse? Be nice until it's time to not be nice. That's exactly. Gunther.
Three more things, really quick. Rhea Ripley out with supposable orbital bone damage.
That's bad.
She got taken out by Liv Morgan and Raquel on NXT, which is on fire right now. By
worker,
the way,
worker shoot.
Yeah. Rumors are that she's really hurt and needing to recover.
That's a bummer.
But they left her bloody in a car, and it was pretty cool.
It looked gnarly, dude.
Yeah, when they walked away with the
it looked gnarly. She was all busted up.
And someone tweeted the picture of bloody Rhea Ripley, which was great.
Mommy, get well soon. If you need anything, call me. I got your back. All right.
Yeah, whatever.
Take your time, mommy. I need you coming back better than ever.
Don't get seen at an AEW show. All right. Speaking of AEW, Bobby Lashley debuted last night. Are you shocked? The Hurt Business is back in business.
Nope. The moment Shelton and MVP showed up on AEW, I'm like, Lashley's next. Yes. And then all of a sudden you started hearing Lashley didn't want to sign a new contract with WWE. It was an inevitability that Bobby Lashley was going to show up. And I popped nonetheless. The Hurt Business was one of the best things WWE has done in a very long time. And I cannot believe to this day that they screwed that up. I'm glad of all of the WWE cast off, there's been more and more that I'm like, that doesn't do anything for me as a guy who wants AEW to be good. Lashley in the Hurt Business with MVP absolutely moves the needle in my opinion.
So many things going on in AEW right now. Will it get lost? And you hope it won't. Finally, John Jones settled out of court with his dispute with the drug testing. I don't know if you remember. He got pretty angry with someone who tried to do a random drug test with him, and they were suing him. And his penance? 4 hours of anger management.
Four is not enough. It should be 4 hours a day. Should be 4 hours a day for 4 months is what it should be. Four hours every day for 4 months. John Jones is going to go, despite all the success that he's had, John Jones is going to be towards the top of the Rob Brown power ranking of what could have been professional athletes. John Jones, being in a good headspace through his career, might have gone down as the greatest MMA fighter of all time. And now he's just going down as a really, really good one. And that kind of bums me out a little bit. All right, come back, talk some World Series, and wrap it up. The Rob Brown Show's on the radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Can I tell you, honestly, like Lonzo asked during the break, he's like, what's the go-to Halloween watch, right? Halloween movie, scary movie, horror movie, whatever. What's the go-to watch? And I told you guys earlier, I'm not a horror movie fan. I do love Halloween. I am fascinated probably to an unacceptable level. I am fascinated by death. I am fascinated by the macabre. I am fascinated by just the stuff we can't know about until we're incapable of knowing things anymore. I'm fascinated by that stuff. I'm fascinated by the way that people handle death, react to death, the traditions we have around death. I am fascinated by this stuff. In fact, when we went to a couple of years ago, when we went to Boston, the very first place that I wanted to go to was the old Granary Burial Ground, which is where Sam Adams is buried there. John Adams is buried there. The victims of the Boston Massacre are buried there. I wanted to go pay respect to a bunch of heroes. But also, I'm fascinated by the way that we as Americans and as humans throughout years have focused on death. I really don't have a go-to Halloween movie. What I will do tonight to celebrate Halloween, because the I'm about to make Lonzo laugh. Because tonight the celebration is for the lady friend and I for Halloween. We are going to see, great one, a string symphony play Halloween horror movie theme songs in concert. Right? So the Halloween theme.
Why am I going to laugh about
that?
That sounds
awesome.
Because
it's Halloween night and I'm going to the symphony, but I will be going dressed as a Jedi.
But we all expect you to do something fancy. So, yes. I mean, you know.
That being said,
it's a very upper crust type thing to do. You keep trying to dispel these things.
Okay,
and
in
then
fairness,
you do everything to reinforce it.
In fairness, I need the people to know. Rob Brown is a full-size candy on Halloween night for the trick-or-treaters guy. I got a 12-foot skeleton in my front yard, all right? I am all about it. The problem is my neighborhood does not get trick-or-treaters. We got two last year, and they were my neighbors, right? So, the plan tonight is when the lady friend gets home from work, I'm going to go next door to the house where those two kids live. I'm going to just give them some Halloween candy. I'm going to reverse trick or treat for them. And then we're going to go see a symphony tonight. And then I'm going to come home. And for Halloween night, since it is Thursday, there's a couple of smaller college football games on, but no baseball. Pellies aren't playing tonight.
There is NFL.
There is an NFL game. I don't even know who's playing tonight. That's terrible. I don't even know who's playing tonight.
There is NFL.
And not who's playing.
Yeah,
that's fair.
It's
fair. I have no idea. You're not alone. I don't know. You know what I prefer to watch for Halloween? I will watch straight up uncensored murder documentaries. Just straight up murder docs. Like the ones that show the graphic crime
By the
scene
way,
and everything.
Houston and Jets tonight.
Okay, so I'm going to watch a murder documentary tonight.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to watch the Jets once again be murdered on live television. Can we label Aaron Rodgers a coach killer now? I think we can. I think I can label Aaron Rodgers a coach killer at this point.
No.
I think we can.
I don't know what this we stuff is. You can say, can you?
Okay, can I? Can
you can do whatever you want.
Do you think football fans at this point are, speaking of Halloween and murders, do we think that Aaron Rodgers is a coach murderer now? I think he is. I think he is. I think he murdered Mike McCarthy at Green Bay. I think he murdered Robert Saleh. He brought his own OC. That didn't work out. He got the next guy canned. The last 4 or 5 years of Aaron Rodgers' career have been nothing but coach killing.
I don't think he's doing anything different than a lot of other quarterbacks have done. So, I mean,
what quarterback in the league has anywhere near the drama around him that Aaron Rodgers does?
Russell Wilson. And the drama, the drama is it's one side or the other. It's not universal drama, and it's all centered around certain things. You hate them because of something, or you love them because of something.
No.
I think you can do that. I'm not saying it's you. It may or may not be.
No, you are, and that's okay. No, I'm not offended by it.
Again, he is polarizing because of that. I tend to look at what he's done on the field, and lately he hasn't been as good. But you know why? Because he's 40 years old.
Oh, for sure. The age is the number one reason.
I mean, and the injury. I think the injury last year, before he got hurt, for like two or three plays, he looked really good. So I think the injury messed him up. It's harder to recover from an injury when you get older. And he's, you know, he's not as fast as he used to be. Of course he's not. The player's saying he's not. He's recovering from an injury and he's old.
40.
Yeah.
I think that you look at it and you go, part of my animosity towards Aaron Rodgers is because of his politics. It's not. I disagree with his politics vehemently, but it's not. I've got plenty of guys that have played for football teams that I vehemently disagree with their politics, but I like them. I'm just looking at the trajectory from Green Bay to the New York Jets, and there is not another quarterback in the league that has had the amount of drama self-caused around him, in my opinion.
Russell Wilson.
I don't think Russell Wilson.
He's got a ton of drama around Russell.
What's the drama around Russell Wilson?
Diva had an office. There's a lot of things.
Is that on him? That Nathaniel Hackett gave him his own office?
Yeah.
If they walked in here today and said, Rob Brown, we'd like to build a third story on this building and the whole third story is your office, do you think I'm saying no to be a team player?
It's a very unrealistic
Love you, buddy. You can
scenario.
Come up and visit me in my penthouse office anytime you want, but I'm taking the damn office.
I'm not going up there. It would make me dizzy. All right, so just about everything I've tried to put down on what the X keeps getting canceled. And
why? Did it say something racist?
No. What are you talking about? I mean...
Because it got canceled?
Canceled out.
Yeah, I know.
I thought you said that wasn't a thing. It didn't exist.
That was a joke.
Yeah, but you're serious when you said it didn't exist. All right, the first thing that's Xing, and it was just on the TV, I've had it all day, is Macaulay Culkin.
Macaulay Culkin is Xing because Macaulay Culkin's Halloween costume this year is Joey Ice Burrow, and it's pretty good. I'm not going to lie. Hey, you know what he looks like? He looks like Joe Burrow if Joe Burrow played for the Jets. That's what Macaulay Culkin looks like. Like Joe Burrow if he was Aaron Rodgers. It's a pretty good costume.
Okay, I don't get that. He looks like an emaciated Joe Burrow is what he looks
right,
like.
Like if he played for the Jets.
Okay, I don't know why you can't.
Because he'd be getting the hell beat out of him and look really bad.
So it's not you can't afford food in New York? I don't know. All right, no. The next thing that's Xing is WWEID.
All right, so I did see this earlier. Effectively, the WWE, and I do think this is a good call depending on or pertaining to what's happening with TNA and their relationship with NXT and what AEW has been doing over the last couple of years, et cetera, et cetera. But WWEID is effectively a program that WWE has created that allows professional wrestlers to get onto the radar of WWE and make the path from smaller indie wrestling organizations up to the WWE a little bit easier to navigate. And I think it's a great idea. Because while, you know, one thing you got to do if you're WWE, you can't just like constantly be turning over talent, having new stars, but you do need a pipeline for the next group of stars. And I think this is a really interesting way to open up access to more people, which means you're going to find better wrestlers. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, I think it's very, very cool. And finally, the last thing that's Xing is trick or treat.
It is Halloween. Listen, if you are going out trick or treating, whether it's you or you're taking the children or whatever you're doing, please be careful while you're out there. Number two, if you are going to be out and about driving around tonight, slow the bleep down, okay? Whatever you have to do, it's worth being a minute or two late to not take out a little ghost or goblin. Number three, give out good candy. I swear if you're one of these people that gives out apples, you're a bad person.
All right. What's your go-to? What's the candy that you wanted as a kid?
Go-to for me when I was a kid was a Reese's Cup. Still is. I will fight a man for a Reese's Cup. A good, like, and they just came out with new ones, Lonzo. They're king size. You know the big, thick Reese's Cups?
Yeah.
and they're the regular Reese's Cup, but now they have a layer of melted milk or dark chocolate on top of that. Also, dark chocolate's gross. Why is dark chocolate a thing?
I love dark chocolate.
Oh, come on.
I think it's amazing.
Come on.
One of the better chocolates out there.
Dark chocolate is what happens if you take all the things that make chocolate taste good out of chocolate.
I also really enjoy white chocolate.
So I do like white chocolate. Inside my top five power rankings is Hershey's cookies and cream white chocolate candy bar. That's way up at the top.
Pretty good, but the aftertaste. I mean, this has a little bit of chalky aftertaste.
You're not wrong, which is why I just eat another piece, you know?
And by the way, I made a mistake last night and went to Spirit Halloween. Wow. There was like 3,000 people trying to get in there.
Oh, for sure.
And all was left was like crayon costumes. It was kind of fun to watch and just see the line was out the doors like, yeah, even if I do find something to buy here, I'm not going.
There's going to be a lot of crayons running around Greenville tonight. Y'all be safe out there tonight. Whether you're going trick-or-treating or you will be outside trick-or-treating or whatever, please be safe. Please be careful. Enjoy your Halloween. Come back tomorrow where Lonzo and I may or may not dress up like Jedis and Sith Lords again because I bought the costume. Why not use it, right? Have a great day. Do not drink and drive. I will punch you in the face again. Be very careful out there. Have a lovely rest of your Halloween. And ladies and gentlemen, may the Force be with you.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.